is crackling, everybody. Welcome on in to the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by NumberFire. That is right here on NumberFire.com. And of course, the NumberFire Podcast Network, as we are getting you set for week 11 of the NFL season, breaking down the main slate and letting you know who needs to be on your radar in NFL DFS. My name is Jim Sonis. I am a senior writer and analyst for NumberFire.com, joined here as always by Brandon Gadilla. He is a senior editor and analyst for NumberFire. Brandon, we are on to week 11, the Thanksgiving slate, just around the corner. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great, but just like six NFL teams, I got to make sure that I don't look ahead to Thanksgiving. Yeah. I got to take my, take these DFS slates one at a time, not look ahead, focus on the task at hand. But yeah, it's exciting to look ahead to that Thanksgiving slate, but I got to focus on week 11 first.
Someone has trained Brandon to coach speak, so this is good. I appreciate this. The PR team, all about it. Yeah, it's an interesting slate this week, though, so I think I'm actually pretty excited. Last week, I was very nervous about building a cash game roster, and this week, I am nervous, but not because of a lack of plays, but because I need to pick the right plays, and there are a lot of good running back plays I want this week, and the hard part is figuring out which ones I should want most.
Yeah, at quarterback last week, I like settled on Phillip Rivers, and I didn't feel great about it. This week, I can't decide between like six cash game quarterbacks, but at running back, I mean, oh boy, you go through like the top eight and they're all kind of in play, and it's going to be a tough week to settle on your player list for cash games and tournaments.
And we're going to try to break that down throughout today's podcast, talking about those high-priced guys and also some lower-cost players you can look at in order to afford those high-priced running backs and how we're stacking some of the big shootouts for this slate. Before we do so, though, quick little look ahead to next week's schedule from a podcasting perspective. We'll have the Week 11 recap podcast, as always, on Monday. Tuesday is our Thanksgiving preview. We'll go through game by game of the three games on Thanksgiving, break down that slate. And then our Week 12 preview will go up on Wednesday, so a day earlier than usual to account for Thanksgiving. So if you're traveling Wednesday, make sure you check out the podcast feed to get that so you can get yourself a little bit entertained as you are moving. And also, reminder, you can get those podcasts now on Spotify, new edition here. So if you are listen to your music and decide you want to switch to a podcast, you can keep it in the same app. Go to Spotify, search for the NumberFire Daily Fantasy Podcast. You can follow us there, of course, along with iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. Brandon, are you ready to break down this Week 11 slate?
Yes, sir. There's a lot to talk about.
And it does start at the top here with a big one to watch with regards to the Ravens quarterback situation as we go through the injuries here. Joe Flacco dealing with a hip injury and did not practice on Wednesday. Head coach John Harbaugh has said that Flacco does not need to practice to play, but if he sits, we'll either get Robert Griffin III or Lamar Jackson at quarterback, or both, apparently. Jackson is $7,000. Griffin is $6,300. The Bengals defense is super banged up, but would you be into either of these guys, Brandon, if they were to start, knowing that they may not play the entire game?
Maybe very limited sprinkles to whoever's starting, just to kind of get some exposure. But if you can't, I mean, the reason you pay for quarterbacks is because they play the whole game. And if that's not the case, then I'm just kind of lower on this situation than I think everyone else might be.
Yeah, I think that there is one situation in which I would buy in, and that would be if they said Robert Griffin III is going to start and play heavily, then I'd feel pretty good. He's $6,300, and that offensive line is tremendous at pass blocking. He has bodies at wide receiver. I was pretty high on them before, but like they're kind of weird now. They're good.
It's not high targets to those guys.
Exactly. So like the infrastructure around the quarterback is good. So if we get a commitment to say Robert Griffin III will start and play most of the game, then I could use him.
What about Jackson? Because he's $7,000. So that's a full $700 more.
He is $100 less than Mariota. And I know Mariota played the whole game. He's indoors. He's facing a bad defense too. Like, I would have a harder time playing Lamar Jackson than Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page there. Let's move on here to the Falcons. Look like they're finally starting to trend the other way defensively from a health perspective. Linebacker Deion Jones was activated from injured reserve. He was practicing last week, and that means he is eligible to play this weekend. We'll talk more about their matchup with the Cowboys in the trends section. The Saints are in line for a potential shootout with the Eagles, but they will be down one of their best players on offense. Left tackle Terron Armstead suffered a shoulder injury last week and is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Brandon, does this impact your view of the Saints offense at all for this week?
A little bit, and they're actually now favored by 8, which makes them the highest, like the heaviest favorite on the main slate. But I mean, they're another team that plays on Thanksgiving. They host the Falcons on that night game.
Divisional game.
It's a divisional game. Like, there's a, I'm not sold that the Saints just kind of roll over the Eagles here. I could be way off base in that, but yeah, I have some concerns about the Saints this week.
Yeah, Derek Barnett is out for the Eagles, and that does help, but their pass rushers are still really good. Like, that's not the reason this Eagles team has struggled. That comes down to their secondary. And like, Bushrod played pretty well last week for the Saints, but that game was also out of hand already by the time he got in there. And this Eagles defense up front is different, I guess, outside. I mean, the Bengals defensive line is pretty good too, but they've basically given up on that game. So I have concerns for sure. It's probably, I think this is the way I look at it, is it's enough for me to not use Breeze and Kamara in cash games. And I probably wasn't going to do so to begin with. But I think it does make me feel better about fading them in cash than I would have otherwise. Looks like the Jaguars may be getting healthier in their secondary. Cornerback A.J. Bouye was cleared to practice on Wednesday meeting. He seems likely to play for the first time since week 7. Assuming Bouye does play, Brandon, will you be using either Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster?
I'm kind of worried about Juju. He can get scripted out pretty easily. His volume kind of is dependent on the game. Brown also hasn't really had a high target share. He's at about 23% over the past few games since their bye. He's kind of living on touchdowns. I'm down on the offense as a whole. And then you kind of put that into the context of playing in Jacksonville, getting healthier. I don't know how much exposure I'll have to either.
I think I would to Juju because his price has gone down. His ownership will not be high this week. And even when Bouye was healthy, Cole Beasley ripped him up for 100 yards through the slot, and that's Cole Beasley. And Juju is a tiny bit better athletically than Cole Beasley. So I could have some Juju. I could have some Antonio Brown, but they're definitely not players I'm prioritizing by any means. And I think among the high-priced receivers, like Antonio Brown, he's going to be below Odell Beckham, below Michael Thomas. So it's probably going to be hard for me to get too much of him there. Below Julio, too. I should mention Julio as well. That's going to be hard for me. The Texans may be getting wide receiver Kiki QT back this week. They're coming off a bye week, and QT has missed the past two games, but he was able to get in a limited practice on Wednesday. The Texans lost Will Fuller, but did add Demaryius Thomas. QT, though, is $5,600 on a slate where we do need value at wide receiver. So, Brandon, will you consider QT if he gets the green light to return?
Probably not. There are quite a few wide receivers in like the 5,000 to 66-ish range on FanDuel. And I'm talking like
66 specifically, I assume.
Yeah.
for Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Yep.
And whenever you just brushed over the top-priced wideouts, you didn't mention DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that I'm going to be very, very heavy on Hopkins rather than QT or Demaryius Thomas. I think that he's going overlooked. So it's kind of a tangent, but I don't think I'm going to get to QT. I think I'm just going to go with Hopkins because I think that, you know, this is a slate where you pay up at running back and down at wide receiver, and I'm going to force myself to pay up for some DeAndre Hopkins lineups.
Okay, makes sense. And I will not be using Demaryius Thomas because he's terrible and, you know, he's not going to get targets in this offense. So if I do go here, it'll be QT. And I like DeAndre Hopkins too. But I think QT.
Hard to pay for, but yeah.
Yeah. I agree that there are incentives to pay up for wide receiver this week. Marvin Jones got banged up Sunday against the Bears, and now he has missed practice on Wednesday with a knee injury. There's still a decent chance he does play because it sounds like he wanted to get back in on Sunday, but let's assume here for a second that Jones does not play, Brandon. How high would you be on Kenny Galladay in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, Galladay's had some target troubles for the past few games, even without Golden Tate. And he had, I think, like three targets through three quarters last week. And it wasn't really until Jones left that he got peppered. But he's 6,400 at home against Carolina. I think that he's going to be, you know, he's just another one of those cheap wide receivers or mid-range wide receivers you can plug in. So I'm pretty high on Galladay this week.
Would you use him if Jones plays or only if not?
I'd still use him if he plays, okay. Just not a ton.
Yeah.
But I mean, if Jones is out, like, who else are they going to throw the ball to? Michael Roberts?
Probably not. Just going to guess there. Probably like Theo Riddick, I guess.
Spoiler, I like Theo Riddick at 5,100 as a, you know, a pivot from Kerryon Johnson, who's also cheap. But yeah, I mean, if Jones is out, it's got to be Galladay getting a lot of targets. But they play that 12:30 game on Thanksgiving too. So
yeah.
That's a
thankfully they're at home this week and at home for that one, so maybe it's less of a burden, but like that's still a factor for sure. In one of the potential shootouts, the Bucks could be down a wide receiver as well. Chris Godwin, my boy, missed practice Wednesday due to an ankle injury. So Godwin may miss, Brandon. He's been banged up, I think, for a couple of weeks now. Any interest in DeSean Jackson if Godwin can't go?
I mean, that offense situation is pretty frustrating. With Dirk Cutter calling plays now. And if Jackson were cheaper, I'd say sure, but he's 6,300 and he's not a guarantee to play heavy snaps. If anything, Adam Humphrey's snaps and potential targets just get, you know, he gets a boost there. So I'll still have some Jackson. I actually think that the Giants are tough against deep balls as well.
Yeah. And that's relevant for Jackson because he has at least three deep targets in five straight games, every game since their bye week. And I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe that Cutter is higher on DeSean Jackson based on what we've heard. So I think that Cutter calling plays may actually be beneficial for him, but I guess we'll see if Chris Godwin's out.
New York is second in passing net expected points per attempt. So just expected points, you know, added on deep balls. So balls traveling at least 16 yards downfield. That does factor in for sure for Jackson. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, he's going to play 60% of the snaps, maybe at kind of at best.
Yeah.
That's kind of where he's always been capped. And he's 6,300. So sure, if you're stacking that game up, but outside of that, I can't get there.
I think that's fair. I think that he becomes a very good game stack play if Godwin sits, because that snap rate would go up just kind of inherently. So keep an eye on Chris Godwin. If he can't go, I would like DeSean Jackson quite a bit for game stacks. If not, I will still use him, just not as enthusiastically about doing so. In this week's number fire free roll, it was MANDM1122 taking home the top prize with a score of 192.50. They had Drew Brees stabbed with Michael Thomas, while also getting big days out of David Johnson, Aaron Jones, Melvin Gordon, and Corey Davis. If you want to play in this week's number fire free roll and get a chance at number fire premium memberships and free FanDuel points, here is your URL for the week. It is FanDuel.com/league/Jim, J-I-M. That is FanDuel.com/league/Jim, J-I-M, for a shot at free number fire premium subscriptions and FanDuel points. Once again, finally, that URL, FanDuel.com/league/Jim. Moving down to our trends discussion for week number 11, trends that are catching our eye and having an influence on our lineups for this weekend. We'll start things off with the highest total on the slate. That is between the Saints and the Eagles. Brandon, your first trend is looking at Carson Wentz. And I think a lot of the talk around the Eagles may be overshadowing how well he's kind of been playing recently.
Yeah, so he's 7,700, which is certainly affordable for a quarterback playing as well as he is. Again, as you mentioned, he's in the highest game with the highest total at 56 points on the main slate. The Saints are 26th in opponent-adjusted pass defense based on number fires metrics. Game's also in a dome. Again, you know, New Orleans hosts the Falcons on Thanksgiving night, so there's that angle if you want to factor that in. But Carson Wentz himself has been good this year. He's generated 0.17 passing net expected points per dropback. The league average is 0.12. His passing success rate of 50% is in line with league average. that's totally fine given the fact that he, you know, missed a few games to start, had a kind of sluggish game in there to, you know, in his comeback. But just two of his games have been against top half defenses. So, you know, that's a little bit concerning looking long-term, but that's the case again this week. Again, the Saints are 26th in adjusted pass defense. The Saints have let up 8.83 yards per attempt this full season, which ranks them 30th. And Wentz has cleared 20 FanDuel points from his passing alone in every game since week four, which was his second game back. The only downside really is that the Saints have done an okay job at limiting touchdowns of late with 8 touchdowns and 5 interceptions since week five. But in that span, they still allow 8.23 yards per attempt. League average is about 7.5, which so that's a pretty big deviation there. If you look at the pass catchers, you know, since Alshon Jeffrey's return in week four, he's had a 23.3% target share, 27% of the team's red zone targets. Zach Ertz has led in both of those categories, though, with 28.2% of the targets, almost 30% of the red zone looks. If you look at Golden Tate, who's overpriced this week on FanDuel, he had 4 targets but played 18 snaps, just 29% in his Eagles debut. You know, I can't pay $6,600 for Tate with such a low snap rate. I do think he's interesting, but again, I think he's just overpriced. Jeffrey is $7,300, so I think he's in play. Zach Ertz is $76. He is by far the best tight end option of the main slate if you can pay for him. And again, Wentz at $7,700. He's kind of looking like my cash game quarterback, even on a pretty loaded quarterback slate. So, Jim, what are your thoughts on this pass offense for this week?
I don't think I would go Wentz in cash because Andrew Luck is 100 more and he is at home as a favorite. And I think I like that situation more for quarterbacks. So probably wouldn't go Wentz in cash, but I think he's an awesome play for tournaments. You mentioned the $7,700. I think that's underpriced given the game environment here because they're going to have to pass. And I worry about that a lot of the time because it allows the pass rush to pin their ears back. But it sounds like Marcus Davenport's going to miss this game as well, which does make things better for an Eagles offensive line that has really struggled for whatever reason so far this year. It's been a lot of health stuff, but also just in general, they haven't had as good of a year as they had last year. So I think that Wentz very much in play. The dilemma I'm having is trying to rank the pass catchers. I think Ertz is one. Ertz, despite the price, like he's $7,600, but he's getting wide receiver usage. So like I don't think that's a bad price at all. And I think in this game environment, he's tremendous. So Ertz is one for me. Kind of want to go Nelson Agholor too. He still ran 42 snaps out of the slot last week, according to Pro Football Focus, compared to just 13 outside. So he's still going to benefit from the big, you know, black hole in the Saints defense that is their slot. And Agholor is $5,300. So I think I'm going to go him 2A, Jeffrey 2B. I like both of them, but I might put Agholor a tiny amount higher just because he is so cheap, and I don't think anybody will use him for this week. So I think if I'm ranking the pass catchers, it goes Ertz, Agholor, Jeffrey. What about you in ranking those three, you know, outlets for Wentz?
I love the price for Agholor, but you have to worry that he does start to cede snaps to Golden Tate. Can't really bank on that, but I would rather just pay for the safety of Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. Like, so I know that Ertz is very expensive for a tight end. He's $7,600, putting him $1,100 more than the next most expensive tight end. But you kind of take a step back and you can pair, you know, Zach Ertz with, let's say, Kenny Golladay, just as a random example, or you can go basically like Alshon and OJ Howard.
Right.
Based on price. And I would prefer some of those mid-range wide receivers and just kind of use that salary to get up to Ertz because his usage has just been so much better than every other tight end, especially when you factor out Travis Kelce on the main slate.
I'm trying to think of like a comp for Zach Ertz. It would be a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver who doesn't get a ton of deep looks. Like he's basically a high usage slot receiver. He is Jarvis Landry in a bit with better efficiency. Is that fair?
Probably.
Okay, let's go with that. And if Jarvis Landry were more efficient, I would totally pay $7,600 for him. And also you get the benefit of not having to roster a terrible tight end elsewhere. So I think Like, I would love to get to Ertz and cash this week. I just don't think I can unless I pay down for Deion Lewis at one of my running back slots, and I would rather pay up for the other running back position. So I think probably not Ertz and cash. I would love to. I really would love to, but I don't think I can really get there. So will you have Aguilar or no? I understand your concerns. Are you going to totally avoid him?
I'm probably going to stack this game like so many ways that I'll just plug him in some lineups, especially because his price makes a lot of things work. But he's certainly not someone I'm looking to in a one-off.
Sure.
Certainly nothing close to a cash game, anything like that. But yeah, I think he's game stacks only.
All right. We'll talk about the Saints side of this in our section on bookmaker info. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys, because we always talk about how much a situation matters for a quarterback. We discussed that in talking about RG3, Lamar Jackson. And while the Cowboys may have overpaid for Amari Cooper, I think they definitely did, it does seem like he is helping their offense tick in the right direction. In the first seven games this year, Dak Prescott had a 40.6% success rate as a passer and averaged negative 0.02 net expected points per dropback per Number Fires metrics. So both those way below average. With Cooper, Dak has looked a lot better. He's at 0.11 net expected points per dropback in the two games, and it comes with a 47% success rate. It's not great. As Brandon mentioned, those numbers slightly below average, but it is a whole lot better than it was before. As for Cooper himself, he has really had a solid role in these two games. He accounts for 29% of the team's overall targets, 36% of the deep targets, and 40% of their red zone targets. The Falcons' defense, they're definitely not weak against outside wide receivers, but that usage is super noteworthy for a guy who is $6,600. I kind of think it looks like Cooper is elevating this offense, which makes Dak more interesting at $7,400. But to me, Cooper is the most interesting guy here. I want to buy him aggressively at 66. Brandon, are you planning on buying into either Dak or Cooper this week?
Okay. So I love both. I love the matchup for both. I love what I've seen from both, the price. Now, they do, of course, play on Thanksgiving, but so do the Falcons. So I'm not kind of, you know, waiting that one as a wash, all things considered. The problem more is I am approaching the slate from a perspective of I like a lot of plays. And so my goal is just to kind of cut off the top few at each position in terms of expected ownership. And according to FanShareSports.com, Dak right now has the most tags among quarterbacks. Amari Cooper is tops among receivers. And I know you're not asking about this, but Ezekiel Elliott is second among running backs. So I think that this offense is going to carry a lot of ownership. And so as much as I like them, I will probably be try to be underweight on them.
Even Cooper?
Probably.
Okay. Would you consider Cooper in cash? That's a very dangerous question.
Yes. I would. They're feeding him, and he has six red zone targets already. I mean, I know that
we're talking to Amari Cooper in cash after a week, couple weeks ago. I thought he was dead in fantasy.
I thought he had retired. I don't even know.
He may as well have. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of think he's in play for cash too. I don't know if I'll use him because I like Larry Fitzgerald. I like Corey Davis in cash. It kind of just depends on how much money I have.
Yeah.
But he would be on my list if I wind up in that range for sure. I just think that like it makes way too much sense given his price, given his usage. So
right. So he's not a lock in like cash formats for me, but he's in consideration, which says a lot.
Yeah. So regarding Zeke, before we move on here, he also benefits from Cooper because Cooper makes the offense more efficient, which means they can keep games closer, which means they can run the ball longer. So Zeke also benefits. I'm perplexed that he is number two in tags. That seems misguided to me, given the other, you know, high-priced running backs. I'd much rather have a couple of them than him, but we'll talk about them later on. So he does benefit, but I don't think he should be number two in tags, is what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he would probably straight up be one of my favorites, so I definitely can see the case.
He would not be my top two, I can guarantee that. He would not be my top three, I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
We'll get to ranking these guys. I've got to try not Saquon.
It's so hard.
We'll rank them after I talk about Saquon. How about that?
Okay. All right.
Cool. Let's stick in the same game and talk about the other side of it. I like the Falcons offense a lot, Brandon, but the problem is it's hard to know where they're going when they get to the red zone. So your second trend is looking at the red zone target distribution recently, trying to decipher where the touchdowns will go when they score against Dallas.
Yeah, so I think it's easy to get excited about this game. Atlanta's at home. Matt Ryan at 8,400 has been amazing at home. He's got 0.53 passing net expected points per dropback. Again, league average is 0.12, so he's like four times better than league average. His success rate is 62.5% at home. League average is around 48, 49, 50%. He's averaging 9.88 yards per attempt.
Oh my gosh. And no one's talking about this guy this week.
Yeah. 14 touchdowns and one pick at home. Now, the real problem with Matt Ryan is always, can you stack him with Julio? The answer is always yes, but can you afford Julio? Not always. I mean, Julio is 8,700. He's gone over 100 yards in four straight games, at least 96 yards in seven of nine games. But kind of, you look around at who else can you stack him with. That, to me, comes down to the red zone usage. On the full season, it's actually Austin Hooper, the tight end, who leads the team with a 24.4% red zone share. Second on the team is Tevin Coleman at 19.5%. Then it's Julio Jones at 14.6%. I mean, we know Jones's red zone woes, but he had three red zone targets in week one. And in week 10, so last week, with nothing in between in the red zone, you may think that Calvin Ridley is sort of involved in the red zone, but he hasn't been targeted there since week four. Mohamed Sanu has been banged up. His snaps went back up last week, but he had his first red zone target since week five. It was an end zone target. It was incomplete. But, I mean, overall, if you look at the actual end zone targets, they've been pretty limited. Ryan surprisingly is outside the top 20 and just in overall end zone targets. Jones leads the team with four. Hooper has three. Tevin Coleman has two. But since week six, Jones has two end zone targets. He's the only Falcon with multiple. Four others have one. So they really do spread it around when they get in close. If you exclude week one, when Devontae Freeman played, Ito Smith has 54% of the red zone carries. So 15 total. Tevin Coleman has 39% and 11 total. But since week five, Coleman has led 6-5. So overall, Coleman has 12 red zone opportunities, or 12 opportunities from inside the 10, rather. Hooper has 7. Julio has 6. Ito Smith has 5, which were all rushes. Sanu has 2. And Ridley has just 1. So I was thinking maybe this would be like the Ridley or Sanu week, but the red zone numbers just kind of don't add up there. I think if anything, this helps me buy into Tevin Coleman more. And, I'm not sold on Julio Jones being a red zone guy, ever, but he has the best numbers among the receivers. I'm digging Hooper here. Again, I'm high on the Falcons. I just need to kind of hone in.
Yeah.
But I kind of can't get to Sanu or Ridley. And I thought that I would be surprised by, or I'm kind of surprised that I can't be based on their red zone usage. So does this change your view on the Falcons at all?
No, I mean, I like them no matter what. You did talk me into Tevin Coleman, though, who wasn't necessarily super high on my list before, but it's not just the red zone usage. He has 12 targets the past 2 weeks. He has 7-5 in those two games. Before their bye week, he never had more than four, and he only had more than three in one game. So, like, the usage from a target perspective seems to be trending up. He's gotten the usage in the red zone, too, as you mentioned. Like $6,800 for a guy who is a home favorite and probably will go overlooked, I think that's pretty attractive. So I might – I was in on Matt Ryan. I was in on Julio before, but I think you may have gotten me into Tevin Coleman too.
Yeah, he's played at least half the snaps in all but one game this year. I mean, he's just been like solid. He hasn't had a high ceiling, so it's hard to kind of – take a step back and say, sure, I'll play Tevin Coleman at 68 rather than, try to force in someone a little bit more expensive like a David Johnson who's going to get more work. But, I mean, it's a really good spot for Tevin Coleman here.
Yeah. Regarding Calvin Ridley, I think I will still use him in game stacks because if you think out a scenario in which this game blows up, there's a decent chance that he is involved in doing that. So
right.
He's in play for game stacks, but at $6,500, I can't use him outside of that. Is that kind of where you land too?
Yeah, I was thinking like, well, people are going to chase Julio for the red zone usage last week for actually scoring. So I'll just go to Calvin Ridley, but he hasn't been involved. Like, he hasn't really been the red zone guy. And I thought that was kind of more of his thing. But, you know, I guess it maybe pays to dig back in, you know, and change your tune every now and again.
What about Hooper? I am in on him. Given
I love Hooper.
The game environment. Okay, cool. So we're on the same page there. No Sean Lee again for Dallas this week. They played better without him this year than they have in years past, but it's still a downgrade for that defense. So I think Hooper is a really good play at $6,000. So let's talk about these high price backs, Brandon, because there are a lot of them. We're going to start here with Saquon Barkley. We haven't gotten to see Saquon Barkley on the main slate very often. They have been on the main slate just once, I believe, in the past 5 weeks. And he's kind of been out of mind from a DFS perspective outside of the showdown slates where I've used him heavily, not always to great results. But this week, Saquon is at home to face the Buccaneers, and he might be my top running back on the board. Matchup here is pretty obvious. The Bucs have allowed 121 receiving yards to Tariq Cohen, $112 to Alvin Kamara, $78 to Christian McCaffrey, and Barkley is in the same mold as those latter two guys from a usage perspective. For the full season, Barkley leads the league with 31.4 adjusted opportunities per game, that is carries plus 2x targets. He is one ahead of Todd Gurley and 1.8 ahead of everybody else. Over the past 3 weeks, he is second in adjusted opportunities per game behind Leonard Fournette, but Fournette has just one game in that sample. So effectively, Barkley has had either the best or the second best usage in the entire league this year. Barkley has 23% of the Giants' targets for the full season and 22% in the 3 games since Evan Engram came back, so that's not affecting him. That is also the highest mark on this slate. This has allowed Barkley to score in the games where he has not scored a touchdown. He has scored 17.8, 15.6, and 12 FanDuel points in those games. He has at least 19 FanDuel points in every game he has scored, and touchdowns seem to be a pretty good bet this weekend against this Tampa Bay defense. So I kind of think that Barkley may be my favorite running back for cash games and tournaments this week, Brandon. Where does he sit among the high price backs for you?
Yeah, I think he's first for me.
Okay.
All things considered, I just feels like a game where he can't really fall short. Melvin Gordon has a kind of tough matchup just with Denver and having that being a divisional game.
First time.
Still, I mean,
it's not home. And Denver's defense is drastically different at home versus on the road.
Okay, so then just forget I said anything, but I still prefer Barkley over Gordon.
He's the one guy I would consider putting over Saquon. That's why I say that.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah,
but I think that those are my top two.
Agreed.
Pretty safely. I'm not sure what your question was, but yeah.
How would you? Okay, so I have Saquon 1, Melvin 2, McCaffrey 3, followed by Kamara. What about for you? And David Johnson's in there too. Let's toss him in there.
No Zeke.
No, Zeke's in the discussion, but he's not in my top three.
Oh, okay. So third, I would probably put McCaffrey as well for the snaps. Mm-hmm. He's been very involved near the goal line lately too, which
a lot of targets
could bottom out. But I think that Barkley, Gordon, McCaffrey are the three I'm trying to get in.
Sure.
To my cash game lineup.
Would you be accepting of David Johnson if you cannot get to McCaffrey?
Yep.
Okay. I think that's where I'd be at too.
Like, I mean, you're not going to get David Johnson as a home favorite ever again with
pretty much. Yeah. I guess team that has just given up. So I agree. I think that I would be on board with that too. So seems like we're kind of on the same page here. The tags are not on the same page, which is encouraging to me. If I can go with my favorite play straight up and not worry about ownership, I feel really good. So that's kind of the way that this week looks. So I'm feeling pretty okay about that, honestly. But these high-priced guys, super, you know, I think they're all very close. So if you have a gut feeling that makes you just want to plug in Alvin Kamara everywhere, go for it. He's not my play in cash games, but I think he's great for tournaments. So I think that just, you know, go with your gut. Try to sort out which guys you like most in this range. For me, it's Barkley and Gordon. For Brandon, it's the same thing. But, you know, do your own research here. Try to figure them out. But I think Barkley's workload is really too good for me to pass up. Let's move on to your third trend. Actually, our third trends for both of us, talking about the same game, starting off with the Colts as they are taking on the Titans. You're talking about the Colts side of this one and their pass-to-run ratio, because Andrew Luck was on pace to set some records earlier this year, and that has not been the case recently from a volume perspective.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, other podcasts, other articles I've read, it seems like a lot of people are into this game. I know it's like the Jim Saunas, like, trademark game, but, you know, something I've been kind of tracking is just the Colts pass-to-run ratio, especially since Marlon Mack took over. But, you know, the Colts, we know, have been a pass-heavy team for years and years, but kind of doesn't apply right now. They're still 11th in full-season pass rate, which is a larger sample, so that definitely does matter. They're third in pass rate and neutral scripts. So a 6-point lead or a 6-point deficit and anything in between. So it kind of makes it look like they're still, you know, heavier than average in terms of pass to run ratio. But since Marlon Mack, you know, took over in week 7 and started playing, you know, over half the snaps, it's just 3 games, but still it's a pretty significant change to the offense. They rank 3rd in rush rate overall and 5th in rush rate and neutral scripts. So pretty much reversed their ranking there. And they've been very, very run heavy since Marlon Mack, you know, again, took over, played half the snaps. And even if you factor out positive script, they've been running the ball a lot. Now, in the red zone on the full season, they're 6th in pass rate. So they've been throwing a lot overall in the red zone. In the red zone within 6 points on the full season, they're 6th in pass rate. So again, the full season trends show that they are throwing it a lot in the red zone. But in those past 3 with Marlon Mack, they're 8th in rushing rate in the red zone. So they've been running the ball a lot at a lot higher frequency, just kind of overall with Marlon Mack in the backfield. Now, Andrew Luck is 7,800 against number 5's 20th ranked adjusted pass defense. He has averaged just, you know, 27.7 attempts since Marlon Mack's takeover. You know, they may not be able to sit on the ball this week, run the ball a lot with Tennessee's offense trending up, even with potential volume concerns and just, you know, the ability finally to run the ball near the goal line. I still have no real issues with Andrew Luck at 7,800. It's just more about the pass catchers. T.Y. Hilton is 6,800. He has a team high 19.3% target share in that 3-game span, but that equates to just 5.3 targets per game. I always love Hilton at home. I love him, especially in this spot, but I'm worried a little bit about the volume for Hilton. I'm worried about the volume for Jack Doyle, especially Eric Ebron. He ran just 12 routes last week and had those 3 touchdowns, so I don't want to get ahead of myself there. So again, I have no real issues with Luck, mm-hmm. but does this trend sort of get you to worry about the pass catchers?
So I actually was a bit worried about them entering last week, and I did still use Luck. I used Hilton, I used Doyle, but I was a bit worried because I thought that, you know, maybe they were just shifting you towards being a rushing team. But you look at the, I know you were talking about situation neutral scripts, so this does account for this, but like they played Buffalo and won that game 37-5 against Oakland. It was the game before their bye week. Luck had thrown a ton. So, and they wound up winning that game by 14 points, and Mack was being effective on the ground. So it makes sense that there they would run the ball pretty heavily. But last week in the first half, Andrew Luck had 20 pass attempts for 217 yards and 3 touchdowns, and they were torching the Jaguars. The reason that they stopped throwing the second half is because they were up like 17 or whatever points. The Jags would eventually make that game close, but like they built that lead through passing efficiency. And I think this week the Titans offense should be able to keep pace. The Titans defense is better against the rush than they are against the pass. So I agree that there are reasons for concern with guys like Hilton. That's why I won't use him in cash games. But I also think there are potential explanations for why that was the case. And those potential explanations are enough for me to justify stacking this game pretty heavily on both sides and still going at guys like Hilton, like Doyle, and Andrew Luck. Am I trying to talk myself too much into this game? Or is it just, or are you on board with that explanation?
No, I mean, despite the having me present the trend and trying to kind of present it, you know, I'm not trying to present it with a bias, but I wanted to sort of, present it as a bit more of a negative than it might actually be whenever you finally factor in all of that.
You want to make sure we weren't overlooking something that does matter.
Right. And despite it all, I still feel optimistic about the pass volume this week, the pass efficiency at home. Andrew Luck has a 0.35 passing net expected points per drop back, so about three times the league average. Success rate's 55%. He's staying upright. So, yeah, I mean, love Hilton at that price. I like Jack Doyle. I mean, maybe I'll take a stab on Eric Ebron, but probably not.
No, he's too expensive.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm still in on them.
I agree. I think we have to be based on the way this game sets up. So let's talk about the other side of this game. And the reason I think that the Titans will keep pace is that Marcus Mariota has been really good recently. With his elbow giving him fits earlier this year, it was understandable that Mariota was performing poorly. It also means we can believe more of what we've seen recently from him as he is further removed from the injury. I think if you were watching Mariota, watching throughout the season, it seemed like he turned things around in their London game against the Chargers. And that gives us a three-game sample on Mariota recently and six games before that. The split frame is pretty wild. Over those first six games of the Titans, Mariota played in only five of them, but he averaged negative 0.12 net expected points per dropback, which would rank 34th in the league if it were his full season number. That is not great, Bob. But in the three games since then, Mariota is at 0.35 net expected points per dropback. That would rank fifth if it were his full season mark. So a huge split there, and he's been among the best quarterbacks in football over the past three games. The three defenses that he has faced are ranked 11th, 18th, and 21st against the pass based on number fires metrics, so it's not great teams, but he also won't face this one this week either. The Colts started the year off hot, but injuries have made them struggle quite a bit lately. They are down to 27th against the pass according to number fires metrics. Blake Bortles had 320 and two tutties against them last week, and Bortles has been terrible on the road for the past two seasons, but he lit them up there. It kind of sounds like Jack Conklin, their right tackle, may be back as well. Taywan Taylor didn't practice Wednesday, but there's a chance he comes back. I would assume he does not, but Conklin should be back. So I adore Mariota at $7,100, and I want to tie other assets to him as well. So Brandon, are you willing to use Mariota in this spot, and can you swallow potential chalk on Corey Davis?
Yeah, it feels like so long ago since I talked about Corey Davis before that Eagles game, and thankfully they actually had to throw, so the market shares came through. But yeah, things are looking up for Davis for sure, so I will have him. I'll just have to maybe get a little bit more creative with my lineups because he does project to be pretty popular this week. But yeah, for Mariota, I'm not a big Mariota guy necessarily, especially relative to Jim, but
nobody.
I like him plenty this week. The Colts, if you look back, you know, I like expected points, success rate. But if you look just at, you know, yards per attempt allowed, which I think is a pretty fine overall metric, they let Blake Bortles go for 8.42. Again, keep in mind, league average is 7.51 this year. Derek Carr was 8.71, Derek Anderson 5.65, but Sam Darnold 9.33, Tom Brady 7.75, Deshaun Watson 8.93. Like, all of these quarterbacks have done better than league average, and I'm willing to buy back in on Mariota, so I have kind of no issues with this offense, really.
Is Mariota your cash game quarterback?
So I said it was Wentz. It was more that Wentz was, you know, I was high enough on Wentz to consider him in cash games, even though he's on the road. I just like that spot a lot. But, you know, you factor in the savings for Mariota at $7,100, and I certainly can see the case for making him my cash game quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I think he will be my cash game guy. I will likely pair him with Davis in cash because I think Davis is just super underpriced based on his talent, based on his role. So, like, I'm going to swallow the chalk because I think he's underpriced.
Based on the market share for Corey Davis, if Mariota does anything, you're going to want him with Corey Davis. And if not, Then you're just done anyway.
Well, I'll stack him with Deion Lewis too, because I think that, like, Lewis gets enough of a pass game role to justify that. And it lets me pay for, like, a Julio or someone, which I want to do. So I will pair him with Deion Lewis too, but it will mostly be Corey Davis. Corey Davis is awesome. So I think that's where I wind up most often here. Yeah, basically that's it. Let's move down to the fourth trends here, Brandon, starting off with the Carolina Panthers and actually also the Detroit Lions, because we're talking about this game as well. Another indoor game, Brandon. This is my paradise this week with all these dome games with Titans, Colts, Mario didn't play for cash. This is a great week. There's no Baker, but like whatever, I can get over that. Let's start here with the Carolina Panthers, Brandon, because the targets have been spread out because they're too darn healthy, which is good for Cam, but bad for us. So what are you seeing with their target distribution recently?
Yeah, I mean, we need cheap receivers this week because of the elite running backs, but there are also elite receivers. So we need our cheap wideouts to have some upside. That could be the Panthers pass catchers because they play in that dome, like you said, in Detroit. Again, Detroit plays early on Thanksgiving, just 4 days after this one, if you want to factor that in. But you don't need much else to get excited about this matchup because Detroit is 31st in adjusted pass defense based on number fires metrics. They are 30th in target success rate allowed to receivers. They are 32nd in fantasy points per target allowed to receivers. So I have no problems looking here. It's just now we have to look into that target split. In five games since Greg Olsen's return, it's Devin Funchess at 5,700 on FanDuel, who leads with a 20.8% target share, so not super high, but he does have 40% of the team's deep targets in that span. Greg Olsen is second all the way down at 24%. Funchess also has 29.4% of the red zone targets in that span, tying him with Christian McCaffrey for the team lead. That is by far the best sort of combined receiving workload in that span, but Funchess has just a 15.4% target share over the past three games in what has been a low-volume pass offense, and that's led to just 3, 5, and 5 targets. So that is certainly a problem for me. DJ Moore at 5,300 has had just 6, 2, and 5 targets in his past three games, but he's played 70.8%, 85.5%, and 86%, basically leading the team the past 2 weeks in snaps. Olsen, of course, doesn't qualify as a cheap receiver, but he is, he has got an 18.2% target share in the past five games to rank him third on the team. Christian McCaffrey has a 20.1% target share, again, 29.4% of the red zone looks. So he eats enough into the workload for the cheaper receivers to worry for sure. But Jim, can you look to Funchess at 5,700 or DJ Moore at 5,300 in such a great spot? Especially whenever we do need to spend down a receiver to pay up for running backs.
Yeah, I'll probably have to, honestly. I don't really like DJ Moore. I'm okay with because he's $5,300. He has tons of talent. We know that. We've seen that this year. And he's playing a lot of snaps. Darius Slay looks like he'll be back for the Lions this week, which means he'll probably be on Devin Funchess. And that doesn't mean I won't use Funchess. I don't think Slay is a guy I need to avoid, but it does mean that the target expectation for Moore does creep higher. So I think that that's beneficial for DJ Moore at 53. I think I'd rank him higher than Funchess for this week for that reason. Olsen's a bit spendy. I like the target shares, but he's kind of expensive at 65. So I'm a little bit nervous there. And then I think that like if I'm stacking with Cam, I think McCaffrey's pretty easily the best stacking partner. He's $8,600. You mentioned the 20% market share, 29.4% of the red zone looks. Those are both really good numbers. So I think if I'm stacking with Cam, I go McCaffrey most often, followed by Moore. I guess Olsen Funchess after that, but I think that McCaffrey to me is pretty definitively the top guy. Where do you sit with Funchess and Moore?
Yeah, so I would rather stack Cam with McCaffrey here. We might actually be kind of overlooking Cam a bit in this spot.
I'm not. I love Cam. He's awesome.
But
you give me this team with this much speed on turf, indoors, DJ Moore.
I like that inflection.
I'm so happy about it. This team should not be allowed to play indoors. I think they still play at Atlanta. And, oh, no, they play at New Orleans already. But I think they still play. No, they play at New Orleans. They've not played at Atlanta. So we get another game with them indoors coming up, and I am V excited.
Nice. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think I can go to Funchess as much as I need to save. Maybe like I'm going to stack this game up in a lot of different ways. So I will have exposure, but I do prioritize more. But yeah, it's always rough whenever you can't trust even, you know, one receiver from a team necessarily. And the only reason I'm playing Moore is because he's only 5,300.
And because he's your boy.
Yeah.
You claimed him before he was even drafted. So like, you know, you got to have that little
yeah. Yeah. I wasn't alone, but I certainly was on the DJ Moore train.
You were on it pretty early too. I know you won't give yourself credit for it, but I'll give you credit for it. You were on there pretty early. So DJ Moore, I think a pretty fun play this week. I just like this team. I think that's why I like Cam, is because I just think this team, again, should not be allowed to play indoors because they are so freaking fast, and that will just amp things up there. Let's talk about the other side of this game. I think if I'm spending down at running back this week, it will likely be Deion Lewis most often at $5,900, but I also think Kerryon Johnson is in play at $6,200. And I think if we're looking at Kerryon Johnson, a workload perspective, the most relevant sample here is the past two games. The past two games he has had Theoretic there, and, you know, the role for Johnson has certainly been lower than it was before, but it's still pretty encouraging to me. In these two games, Johnson has averaged 13 carries per game, but they also got just wiped in both those on the road in Minnesota and on the road in Chicago. In the two games, Johnson has 26 of 39 running back carries, with LeGarrette Blount getting just 11. And as such, you would think that if they were to keep the game close, Johnson could sit somewhere closer to 15 to 17 carries. That's pretty good at this price. But he's also gotten work in the passing game. Johnson has 12 targets in this two-game sample, accounting for 14% of the team's looks. Three of those targets have come in the red zone, so I think this seems to imply that Johnson will be at least getting volume no matter how the script may go. And to me, that's pretty encouraging for a guy who is $6,200. The Lions are facing a really solid Carolina team, but they are back at home after being on the road against divisional opponents the past 2 weeks. That may allow them to keep this game closer and keep the ground game in play longer. The Panthers are ranked 12th in success rate against opposing running backs, so they're not a sieve matchup, but they're also not one we need to avoid. They allowed 107 yards to Tevin Coleman, 97 to Adrian Peterson, both on 17 carries or fewer. So I think Johnson is appealing enough to be in my player pool for tournaments this week when I need to get off of Deion Lewis. Brandon, has Johnson shown enough for you to do the same at $6,200?
Yeah, I mean, he's got so much talent and enough of a workload that, you know, I wouldn't consider him for cash games because I just want to jam in, you know, three high-priced running backs, but he's close, and that definitely puts him on the radar for DFS tournaments. He's certainly like a season-long just kind of start no matter what, but I'm also a little bit intrigued by Theo Riddick at 5,100, and I'm already kicking myself for that. But it just seems like, I mean, he's at 8 and 7 targets. He's played about 56% of the snaps the past 2 weeks, especially if Marvin Jones just doesn't play.
Yeah.
Riddick's going to, I mean, he could get 10 targets, and that's basically 20 carries worth of, you know, value if you subscribe to the, you know, 2x target situations, which I do because it's just, you know, true. And Theoretic is a capable pass catcher, so
right.
He's only 5,100, and if I'm trying to spend up at receiver in some lineups, I will probably use Theoretic.
I think that makes sense, because like if you assume, and you can make assumptions again, if you assume they get down in this game, Theoretic's going to play a lot, and he's going to get targets, and we've seen that, and he's kind of been playing a lot at receiver, which is encouraging too. So I probably won't use him, but like he's not a bad play.
I just kind of feel like Carolina's going to just destroy Detroit in this game.
It's very possible, especially if Marvin Jones sits. So yes, I think that's very possible is what I would say. Yes.
We'll see. So he's like game stacks only, but again,
he makes sense in game stacks though, which is encouraging.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the section on bookmaker info for this week. But first, FanDuel is teaming up with Dash Digital Cash, the fastest digital payment system on the planet, to bring the community, the DFS community, a new type of prize and exciting new contests every month. Dash is the evolution of money. This week's Crypto Cup is in the FanDuel lobby. It is a free play with the top prize being $500 in Dash digital cash. Check it out in the NFL section of FanDuel's lobby for week 11. That's Dash digital cash, and check out the Crypto Cup for week 11 in the FanDuel lobby. Take a look at the bookmaker info here for this week. The Steelers face the Jaguars in Jacksonville this week, pitting one of the best DFS offenses in a pretty tough spot here. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a 5-point favorite on the road. According to Sports Insights, the line here has dropped from 47.5 to 47, despite a majority of the bets being on the over, indicating that sharp money may be on the under here. Ben Roethlisberger is 8,000, James Conner 8,200, Antonio Brown 8,500, and Juju Smith-Schuster $7,200. Brandon, can we trust any of these guys in tournaments this week?
I mean, Antonio Brown's really been living on touchdowns. The target share hasn't been that great. I know that the Jaguars have been giving up touchdowns to tight ends, but I can't really play Vance McDonald even. Mm-hmm. If they do lead, you know, I can't imagine they like feed James Conner coming off that concussion. And whenever they have led, Juju has had his targets dip. So I'm really having trouble figuring out if I'm going to go at this game at all. What about you?
I like Conner. I think Conner is a really good contrarian play this week. His tags are pretty high in FanShare, but I'm guessing that's because of the Le'Veon Bell situation. But Conner is $8,200. And you look back to Thursday night, it was a home game where they were coming off of a game where Conner had 24 carries and 9 targets just 4 days before that. So it kind of makes sense that they would kind of bottle him up in addition to the concussion. He practiced on Wednesday. I think he's good to go. I think I'm going back to the same question I asked when he was facing Baltimore. Would I use Le'Veon Bell at $8,200 on the road against Jacksonville? And Conner's not as good as Le'Veon Bell, but his usage has been the exact same. And my answer would be yes. So I think that he's going to go overlooked given the great spots for all the other high-priced running backs. So I think Conner's a really good tournament play. And I think he is my favorite guy here. I will have some Juju. No Ben. Not at all. Not with the quarterbacks available on the slate. I think I'm going to wind up having no Antonio Brown too. But I think I like Conner and I like Juju enough to get some exposure. Where do you see
Conner would be my the one guy I would target, especially because, you know, it's very easy to gloss over him and just pay for any of the mm-hmm. other running backs in that range. I don't think I'm going to go to Antonio Brown. Again, you know, he's the same price as Odell Beckham. And on the off chance I have the money, I'm just going to eat the chalk and pay for Beckham in that spot. It's so good. And I'm pretty sure Antonio Brown's maxed out at like 105 yards. Yeah, he's got 2 100-yard games this year.
Yeah.
He's just been living on the touchdowns.
Yeah, which he can score, obviously. But like, yeah. Yardage upside does matter too. So certainly like Julio's yardage upside is just compared to Browns this year. We talked about the Eagles in the trends section. We've got to cover that whole game here with the some potential game stacks as they face the Saints. The total is up to 56 here after opening at 54.5, according to Sports Insights. It is now the highest total on the board by 4 points. So with that in mind, Brandon, what will be your favorite game stacking combination in this game?
Wentz, Ertz, Kamara, maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like that's wrong.
No, it's not wrong. I was trying to decide. So I want to pay for these high-priced backs this week. So how about this, Brandon? Carson Wentz, Nelson Aguilar, and Tre'Quan Smith.
I don't hate it. I kind of looked into Smith. I mean, the snaps have been about the same. He just didn't get a target last week. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really you don't play Tre'Quan Smith like on the road last week. I feel like people did.
Yeah.
You play him at home.
It was a matchup-based play, which probably should not have happened.
Philly's 13th in deep ball defense based on expected points per attempt, but all it takes is one. It's just, I mean, is he going to get more than 3 targets? You never know. I guess it comes down to whether you think this game will be closer or if, you know, the Saints get out ahead, then I wouldn't touch Tre'Quan. But I think this game's a little bit closer than people might think.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that the Saints play on a short week next week.
And don't have based on, Terran Armstead.
Yeah, and I could see paying for Traquan.
Yeah, he's $4,900, which I think is a big allure for me. And, like, this would have been the ideal spot to use Ted Ginn when Ted Ginn. So it's kind of like the same thing with James Conner. Would I use James or Le'Veon Bell in this spot, except here is, would I use Ted Ginn in this spot? And the answer would have been yes. And Traquan's basically been playing the Ted Ginn role. So I would use Ted Ginn here, especially if you're $4,900. So I think he makes sense for game stacks. I think that if I want to flood in the high price backs, the Wentz, Aguilar, Smith stack makes most sense. But I also think that, like, I think it's a good spot for Drew Brees. They seem like they want him to win MVP. We talked about this with Todd Gurley before. So, like, touchdowns may start to swing his way. I think, you know, I mean, like, it's an amazing matchup for Michael Thomas, too. So, like, you can go either low-priced or high-priced here or a combination. But I think given the running back landscape here, I like the cheap guys enough where my favorite one is Wentz, Aguilar, Smith. I can't go super hard at Traquan because the usage has been so bad. But, like, I love that stack. I think it's super fun for this slate. So.
Yeah, it's fun, and then, it's fun.
It's fun
and then
until
you realize,
Sunday around like 7 o'clock. Then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, or even 5:30. And you're like, oh, there's, you know, five touchdowns in this game. But
and they've all gone to Alvin Kamara because that is how things go. And he, where do you think you wind up at Kamara from an exposure perspective?
I'll probably be heavier on him than most.
Yeah.
You know, they're heavy favorites again, 8 points right now as of Thursday morning. I think people might try to jam in Ingram and take the savings, but I'm going to go pretty heavy on Kamara. So whatever it takes to be overweight,
sure,
just about there, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. This is the ideal environment for me to use Kamara. I'm generally lower on him than most, but like here, he makes way too much sense. So I'm probably going to wind up being around like 50% Barkley Gordon. But then Kamara will be in that second tier from an exposure perspective, just kind of, you know, shuffling through all those guys. So I'm going to have enough of him to make a difference. We have not touched on the Broncos versus Chargers game yet outside of discussing Melvin Gordon briefly. The total is 46.5. Chargers are favored by 7.5 points. The total open at 47, and 64% of the bets are still on the under at that total. So people are down on this game overall. Brandon, does that worry you about Melvin Gordon and Phillip Rivers? And is a value such as Cortland Smith at $5,600 on your radar here?
Well, why don't you – can you tell me about Melvin Gordon? Because sure. I was more worried about the matchup, and then you kind of dismissed it a bit. So am I overreacting to a divisional game against Denver?
Well, it's the first time they've faced, which I think is always something that I – care far less about from a divisional perspective. But the Denver Broncos, when they were on the road, yes, this was a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast, but they allowed 200 yards to Isaiah Crowell and 99 to Bilal Powell in the same game. They allowed 200 yards to Todd Gurley. They allowed, I think, a buck 20 to Kareem Hunt when they were at home. Alex Collins exceeded 30 yards rushing against them, which is a miracle for him. He had 68.
Hey, man.
Hey. I'm sticking with it. But, like, they're a bad rush defense. Melvin Gordon is at home as an 8-point favorite. He has stupid usage. He's played 80% of the snaps in both games since he came back. Like, I really do think – and he hasn't scored fewer than 15 points in any game this year. He scored fewer than 20 just twice. I think he is, like, outside of Barkley, the cash game guy this week.
Yeah, he's like my 1B.
Yeah.
If not,
I agree that it's 1A and 1B as opposed to definitively 1 and 2.
Yeah. I'm not going to play Rivers, even though he's the only quarterback with multiple touchdowns in every game. He just probably won't have to do that much this week.
Are you in on Sutton? I'm not because I like the Chargers' corners enough, but I wanted to hear your take
here. Yeah, I'm probably not.
Okay.
I need the savings, but. I mean, I will probably build some like Melvin Gordon, Cortland Sutton mini stacks, but I'm not going to play Manny Sanders at 72.
That's way too expensive. So I agree there. Just Melvin for me pretty much here, I think, as of right now. The Bucks and Giants, not great teams, but they've got the second highest total on the main slate. It's currently at 52, trailing only the Saints Eagles. And you can't understand why, because both these defenses are flaming dumpster fires. You know, Giants better than that, I guess, but still, the Bucks are not. We're probably going to need to stack this game up. But Brandon, when I talk about game stacks, usually that does include the quarterback. Can you use Eli Manning here, or is it just Ryan Fitzpatrick and the other skill position guys?
I could see myself using some Eli. I mean, can we even be comfortable with Fitzpatrick?
That's a good question. They had to like ask again if he had job security, and they said, "Yeah, he gets the best chance to win. That could always change." He's 76, so that's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, I could see myself using both of these quarterbacks. New York is 24th in adjusted pass defense based on number of fires metrics. Tampa Bay's 30th. Like that, you know, certainly certainly helps. But I mean, I like Saquon. I like Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Mike Evans, I guess. If Godwin's out, I'll maybe take some game stack stabs at DeSean Jackson. I can't play the tight ends. I mean, I guess it's just O.J. Howard.
And I can play O.J. Howard, I think. He's shown a really good floor this year outside of last week. And no one.
But he showed a floor. He showed a floor because he scored, though, a lot of games.
No, he's had 50 yards or more in every game except every healthy game except for that one.
But it was. I meant more that it's not just the touchdowns, but he's getting like four and five.
He's been really efficient, is what you're saying, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that makes sense. As far as Eli goes, he has had 290 or more passing yards in five of his past seven games. Sorry, 280 or more in five of his past seven. He had three touchdowns on Monday. So I think if you get those two to combine, he can be a, I don't want to say tournament winning, he can be a viable quarterback at $6,700 because he lets you pay up elsewhere.
Sure.
I'm going to hate myself for it, but I'm going to use Eli some.
He's also averaged 6.7 or fewer yards per attempt in three of his past four, so you're really just riding the volume and hoping that it's there.
Yeah, it might not be. That's why I just go Saquon and cash.
yeah.
Can you use any of the cheaper pieces on the Giants, like Sterling Shepard or Evan Engram?
I love Shepard this week.
Okay, talk me into him. Or he's in the player picks, right?
I believe so.
Okay, so we'll talk about him there. But I think this is a good game to stack. Pretty interesting. Eli will be in my lineups. We'll see on Monday how I feel about that. But for right now, feeling good. Weather this week, nothing to mention. There are a ton of games in domes. This is my favorite slate of all time. So don't worry about weather. Check back on it Sunday morning. But for right now, everything is Gucci. So let's move into the positional plays, Brandon. Starting off at quarterback, who do you love for week number 11?
Okay, so it's very easy, you know, to like Cam, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, I said I like a lot, but someone I don't think we've even said his name at 7,800 is Deshaun Watson. He's the same price as Andrew Luck. He's $100 more than Carson Wentz. Again, I like both of those guys, but he faces Washington. Houston's coming off of a bye. Washington plays at Dallas on Thanksgiving, so they have to travel. Washington's certainly been trending down overall this year. They've let up 8.62 yards per attempt, which is 29th since their week four bye. Watson does, you know, have to deal with the loss of Will Fuller, but he can overcome it. He can feed DeAndre Hopkins, and he's also averaged just under 30 rushing yards per game. So I like Watson as a tournament pivot, who I think is going to go vastly underowned, but I like the situation a lot for him. I'm going to do it again, but I love Josh Rosen for tournaments as well.
Let's go.
6,500. I mean, I guess I don't really need to talk about like the more obvious guys we talked about a lot, but he's 6,500. Again, tournaments only for Rosen, but the savings go a long way towards spending up elsewhere. Oakland's 32nd in adjusted pass defense based on number of fires metrics. They're 31st in quarterback hit rate. They lost their left tackle, or left guard rather, but he wasn't exactly great based on the grades that he had. Rosen has maxed out at 252 yards. Just once gotten multiple touchdowns. He's thrown for 6.8 yards per attempt or fewer in five of six starts. But you know, in two games under Byron Leftwich, he's had both his best game to date and then a dud on the road against a tough Kansas City defense in a tough spot. So I can forgive him there. And at 6,500, you can believe that I'm going to have some Josh Rosen lineups again.
I agree. I can't go too hard because the pace in that game could be abysmal, but like, whatever. It's the Raiders. They've given up hope. It's great. So I think that Rosen makes sense there. I was going to talk Eli, but we just discussed Eli. So I'm going to talk about Matt Ryan instead. And instead of like giving you like some like long in-depth explanation of why I'm using Matt Ryan, I'm just going to read you the fantasy point totals for him at home this year. They have been 31.68, 40.16, 29.26, 27.5, and 19.26. And he's threw for 379 yards in that game where he had just 19 points. So whenever they've been at home this year, Matt Ryan has been a fantasy machine. They're at home facing Dallas this week. Dallas's pace has not been as bad as perception, I guess, would be the way that I would put it. They're not a fast team, but they're also not like the worst team in the world. The 22nd in situation neutral pace this year. So I think that Matt Ryan is not getting enough love for how good he has been at home this year. As Brandon mentioned before, $8,400. I love it.
Is it a mistake just like not to just force him in cash games?
I don't think it's a mistake, like, because there are low cost guys who
just
I like.
Okay.
In tournaments, it's a mistake not to use him though.
So you're saying you need to get exposure?
Yes.
100%. I agree.
Absolutely. I need to get exposure. Like, he's too good, or has been too good this year. My second love is Andrew Luck. I talked about Mariota before, so let's stick in the same game here. I think that Luck makes sense because the Titans have been better against the pass recently, but they're still ranked 20th against the pass for the full season. And Luck may be in a situation where the offense is good enough, where matchups just don't matter. He has shredded the Bills and the Jaguars at home, and they're both better than the Titans. Luck is $7,800. If I were to have the money, Luck would be my ideal cash game quarterback. I just don't have that money. Doing my initial build, if I want to get in Melvin Gordon, Saquon Barkley, and not punt at wide receiver, I do need to spend down. So Mario is going to be my cash game guy. But I think Luck does make a lot of sense. That's $7,800. Let's move down to running back now, Brandon. Who is catching your eye there?
Okay, so I think third on the list outside of Melvin Gordon and Saquon is going to be Christian McCaffrey for me at $8,600. He's played at least 95% of snaps in three straight games. He basically plays, you know, almost every snap, every single game. Detroit is 30th in rushing success rate allowed to running backs this season. McCaffrey has 53% of the red zone carries for Carolina this season. He has 7 scores in his past 3 games. They just cut C.J. Anderson. Detroit again plays early Thanksgiving. Love this game anyway, so I think that he could be a bit under-owned, especially with Ezekiel Elliott at $8,400.
It's also super wild that he's not getting a ton of love this week, given that he like blew up on an island game last week.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone over 30 FanDuel points in 2 straight games.
Yeah.
And he still seems like he's kind of the, like a...
He's an afterthought.
Like an afterthought, yeah.
Yeah. Like, my initial cash game build right now does have him in as my third running back, so...
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to make him, like, my, you know, my flex in a cash game lineup with Barkley and Gordon. But I also love David Johnson. I wouldn't, you know, hate it if I had to spend down from McCaffrey to David Johnson at $7,900 for cashier formats. Again, they are without their left guard, but, you know, their line isn't really a strength, and he wasn't necessarily good. Justin Pugh, that is. Last week, Johnson had 9 targets, which were his most since week 1. He had 21 carries. Oakland's terrible at everything. They don't want to win. 28th in adjusted rushing defense is Oakland. They're 30th in rushing success rate allowed to running backs. Arizona is a 5-point home favorite. You'll never get Johnson as a home favorite or a favorite again this year. I can almost guarantee it. I like Tevin Coleman. I kind of, warmed up to him. I like Kerryon Johnson at 6,200, but I will have some Theo Riddick lineups. He's only 5,100. I think it's a very fair price for his role, especially with Marvin Jones not 100%. this could be a game again where, you know, Detroit plays from behind. And even if it's not, you know, Riddick's going to play at least half the snaps based on what he's shown the past two games. He's had 15 targets in those two games combined. So I kind of like him both as a pivot from carry on and just part of game stacks in this game, and in a way to differentiate a bit and spend up at wide receiver in some lineups.
And targets are so valuable for running backs, but I think that that makes sense for sure. Let's give you the full pitch here on Melvin Gordon as being my second running back behind Saquon Barkley this week. Melvin is at home, 7.5-point favorite against Denver. Denver is ranked 28th in success rates to opposing running backs. And Melvin has been efficient this year. He's been awesome. He has 90 or more rushing yards in four straight games that Russell Okung has started for this team. So when Melvin has played and Okung has played, Melvin has just gone bananas. He has played 80% of the snaps in each of the past two games. And when he's been healthy, Melvin has 21% of the team's targets and 33% of the red zone targets. The scoring upside is there. The floor is tremendous. So Melvin Gordon is my second running back behind Saquon Barkley for this week. My second love is a volume-based play, but I'm okay with that. It's Leonard Fournette. The volume was there last week. He had 24 carries and 5 targets while playing just 39 snaps in the game that they had to play catch-up the entire second half. Now he goes home, and the Jags play much better at home than they do on the road. Fournette's efficiency will not be there because they don't have Brandon Linder, their center. They do not have their top 5 or 6 left tackles based on the way the season has gone for Jacksonville. So efficiency will not be there. But they have got him involved in the passing game. He'll get a lot of carries. He's $7,600, and I think that's too cheap for how much volume he's getting. So Leonard Fournette will be on my tournament rosters for this weekend. My third love is Deion Lewis. He still had a big role last week, just didn't quite get the fantasy production. If we look at the past three games for Lewis, he has averaged 17.3 carries and 4 targets per game. That is very good usage. The Colts have allowed a lot of targets to running backs. They allowed 14 to Chris Thompson, 14 to James White, 8 to Jalen Richard, 7 to Joe Mixon. So I think that this is another spot where Lewis would be cash game viable if not for all the really good expensive running backs. Like if I needed to spend down at one running back spot in cash, it would be with Deion Lewis. Right now, I don't think I need to.
Not carry on?
In cash games, no.
So you go Lewis over carry on then?
By a hair, yes. But I do think that carry on's in that discussion.
Yeah, I think I'd flip it. I think I'd prefer carry on slightly.
I would not fault you for that. I think that is a reasonable thing to say.
You could build some carry on Deion lineups and load up a receiver and mix it up.
I also like the carry on Deion sound. I think that's pretty good. So no objection.
Carry on Deion. Yeah.
I had Spawn and Pawn in PGA this week, so we're good. Yeah. This is solid. Let's move down to wide receiver, Brandon. Who are you looking at there?
I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. I alluded to it before. He's 8,600, and I know I want to spend up at running backs and cash games, but I don't only play cash games. I play a lot of tournament lineups, and I like to differentiate. And with Odell Beckham at 8,500 against the Bucks, Julio at 8,700, Michael Thomas at 88, it just feels like if people do spend up at receiver, they're going to do it on somebody who isn't DeAndre Hopkins, and I think that might be certainly viable, but it's also a mistake just to overlook Hopkins. So, you know, I'm going to run the risk for a lot of lineups at spending up at running back and down at receiver and have a lot of similar builds, but I want to force myself into something different. And Hopkins he's had at least 78 yards or a touchdown in every single game this year. Washington has allowed 7 receivers to get to 15 FanDuel points, tying them for the 6th most in the league. DeAndre Hopkins has combined for 35% of Houston's deep and red zone targets this year, ranking him 6th, and that's without factoring out Will Fuller's involvement. So I just think that Hopkins is a great tournament play, especially in a stack with Deshaun Watson.
Before we move on, we rank the high-priced running backs. I don't want you to rank the high-priced receivers, but from Odell Beckham on up, who is your favorite guy for tournaments? Is it Hopkins?
Based on ownership, yes, but it's so hard to say no to Odell Beckham with how much he's been doing and in this spot. But yeah, tournaments, I think it's Hopkins, but straight up in a vacuum, it's Odell.
I think I like Odell followed by Julio most. But it probably should be Michael Thomas, but like I just, you know, I like Odell and Julio a lot.
I mean, I think it's very viable.
But that also strengthens the argument for Hopkins. So I think you're on the right page there. Who else do you like your receiver?
I like Amari Cooper. So going from trying to get really, really weird to very chalky. Cooper 6,600. But, I mean, he's got almost a 29% target share with Dallas. He's got 47% of the air yards in his two games, plus six red zone targets. Gets a dome matchup with Atlanta, who is 29th in adjusted pass defense based on number fires metrics. They've let up 17 double-digit outings to receivers, which is the most in football. Seven games of at least 15 FanDuel points, tied for sixth most. He is a pivot from Ezekiel Elliott, who does look to carry ownership. So I do factor that in. I love Sterling Shepard as well. He's not, super cheap, but he is 6,300. He's a pivot from Odell Beckham, like Kenny Galladay in this range as well. Kind of I like all of your receivers too. So you kind of took my favorite, cheaper. No, you got to
win all cheap. That's why I'm building lineups. So yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to say I'm going to play out the high-priced running backs, but also these high-priced receivers. But it's possible that Sterling Shepard's best games are behind him now that the team is getting healthier and now has more bodies. With Evan Engram, even Corey Coleman in the mix. But he saw a season low three targets last week, but he still played 95% of the snaps, ran a route on 97% of the dropbacks. He's got a 17.2% target share over his past five games. That's 6.6 per contest. And according to Rich Rebar of RotoWorld, the Bucks are 31st in slot points allowed to receivers. They're just terrible all over. So I like Sterling Shepard, and I'm going to prioritize him in my tournament lineups as well.
People used Maurice Harris last week, even though his offensive line was the walking dead. And if they don't use Sterling Shepard, which they're probably not going to, it makes sense. Yeah. So he's a pretty good play this week. I agree. My first love at wide receiver, I'm just going all cheap, guys, because I'm basically giving my ideal roster construction that does involve a lot of cheap receivers. So let's talk about Corey Davis. Don't care about the chalk. Fight me. Davis has 31% of the Titans' targets this year, 51% of their deep targets, and 36% of the red zone targets. He has done all of this while facing Stephon Gilmore, Casey Hayward, the Ravens, Tre'Davious White, Jalen Ramsey, AJ Bouye, and Xavier Howard. That is like every cornerback outside of Patrick Peterson and Xavier Rhodes that we worry about. He's faced all of them. He still has the most disgusting usage I've ever seen. Not quite, but whatever. I can exaggerate. We're at the 1,000-minute mark. So I can exaggerate. The Colts have allowed 90 or more than 90 receiving yards to both Dante Moncrief and Jermaine Kearse. So even if you have concerns about Davis, he can still come through in this spot. He is $6,200, lock and cash games for me, and a really good tournament play too, despite heavy ownership. My second love is Larry Fitzgerald because he's at awesome volume with Byron Leftwich as his OC. In the two games with Leftwich, Fitz has 22 targets. That accounts for 31% of their overall targets, along with four deep targets and four in the red zone. So he's still getting downfield. Pierre Garçon had an easy touchdown against this Raiders team through the slot. Manny Sanders had 96 yards. They are bad. Fitz is $5,900. He's probably in my cash game lineups too. I would try to pivot if I go with David Johnson instead of Christian McCaffrey, but right now it looks like I can afford Fitz, so I should be okay there. My third love at receiver is DJ Moore because he gets me low-cost exposure to a player with a lot of talent, playing a bunch of snaps in a dome against a bad defense. He has played 85% of the snaps in each of the past two games. And in the three games that Torrey Smith has sat, and Smith did miss practice again Wednesday, DJ Moore has 31% of the team's deep targets. It does look like Darius Slay will be back this weekend for Detroit, which means he'll probably be covering Devin Funchess. Again, I'm not looking away from Funchess because of that, but it does make me feel better about the target projection for DJ Moore. So more this weekend. I think it should be a pretty fun one. Let's stick in that same game, Brandon, as we move down to tight end. Who is catching your eye there?
Yeah, I was going to recommend Greg Olsen. I still think he's a fine play if you can't pay for Zach Ertz. But, realistically, he's hard to pay for with all these expensive running backs. So I'm going to recommend Jordan Reed at 5,400.
No!
I know. He's averaged 5.6 FanDuel points in six games since a bye, which is not good. But Houston's 27th in fantasy points per target allowed to the position. Reed has had 7.4 targets in his past five games. I mean, it's something if you can't afford Kelsey.
Priced with the bad tight ends now, so I think he's more viable than he was before.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. If he were 6,000, absolutely not. Sure. Speaking of bad tight ends,
Jeff Heirman, and Dallas Goedert, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, CJ Uzama's 5,300. He ran the highest route rate among all tight ends last week. If you really are trying to find exposure to the Bengals, but you probably shouldn't be. but I like Ricky Seals Jones, I guess, as well at 5,200. He's in a three-way tie with an 18% target share in two games under Byron Leftwich. Oakland is dead last in adjusted pass defense and fantasy points per target allowed to tight ends. He has maxed out at 10 FanDuel points, but I mean, if you can't get to Ertz, you can't get to Olsen or either of Jim's two loves, I think that Ricky Seals-Jones is a viable punt play.
He's maxed out at 10 FanDuel points, but he's also never had a spot as good as this one. So I think that Seals-Jones does make sense too. My first love is Austin Hooper because he fits my process at tight end. He is at home with a big implied team total and a respectable role in the offense. If we look at the game since Mohamed Sanu got hurt, which was back in week 5, I believe, Hooper has 17% of the overall targets. He has two deep targets and 33% of the red zone targets, as Brandon mentioned before. That red zone role for Hooper has been there all year. He has had double-digit targets in three of the past five games. He's 6,000. I don't think he's in play for cash. I would prefer to spend a bit lower in cash because he's had games that have been duds too, but I think he makes sense for term at 6,000. My second love is still Jack Doyle. I'm just going to keep beating my head against a wall here. He ran routes on 21 of 29 dropbacks last week, according to Pro Football Focus, so still was active. In the four games he has played this year, he still has 22% of the Colts' targets and 19% of the red zone targets. So yes, Ebron has gotten more love in the red zone, but Doyle is still a factor there. He is just $5,400, and he gets me exposure to a really good team, a good passing offense, facing a bad defense. I think that Doyle does make sense, and I'm ready to tilt Eric Ebron touchdowns on his three snaps and two targets on Sunday. Let's finish up with defense. Brandon, who are you looking at there?
I'm going to go with Baltimore at 4,200. If AJ Green plays, he's not going to be 100%, but you know, I kind of thought Baltimore would be chalkier, but
probably it seems be. Like,
what's that?
They probably should be the chalk.
They should be, but the fan share tags and just kind of everything else I'm seeing makes it look like it's the Cardinals at 4,000.
Honestly,
which I don't
shock, but
I mean, I
their pass rush has been really like legit good this year.
And I have no problems with
two rookie tackles. So
I have no problems with the Cardinals, but if they're going to be popular, right, then I do have problems. So, but Baltimore, I mean, seems like people are just not super high on them. I like Houston as well, but I mean, so Baltimore hosts the Bengals, who are without a fully healthy AJ Green, or you know, without him entirely. The offense, even with a backup quarterback, I think could score on the Cincy defense, which helps out. But I mean, Baltimore's second in adjusted defense based on number of fires metrics. They're third in adjusted pass defense. I'd like a little bit more of a vulnerable offensive line, but seems like a high floor, high upside situation for the Ravens here. So I like them a lot at 4,200.
Yeah, they make a lot of sense. You mentioned the Texans, and I would love to get up to them because of Washington's offensive line issues and Houston's defensive line coming off a bye, but they're 47. So if I'm paying down, I like Pittsburgh. They are $3,800 and facing Blake Bortles. And the Jaguars, yes, I like Leonard Fournette, but that's based on volume. But this Jaguars offensive line is now missing the two most important pieces on the offensive line. Their left tackle, they're down to like their fifth or eighth string left tackle, and they're missing their starting center, who's been really good this year. The Steelers are now sixth in adjusted sack rate according to Football Outsiders. So I like Arizona. I like Baltimore. I like Houston. I will have a couple of shares in New Orleans in case they do get up in that game because they're, I think, like $3,300. And the Philly offensive line has had troubles protecting Carson Wentz this year. So I'll use them, but I think overall to me, Pittsburgh's pretty attractive.
Yeah. They're $3,300, the Saints. I thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Eagles, but it's really hard to pass up. Brandon, I think this is a fun slate. The problem is we just need to like whittle down our list. Like we talk about having a concentrated player pool. that's pretty tough this week. So I think you just kind of like you sit down, you prioritize different guys and kind of go from there.
Yeah. And I think the only way that I'm going to be able to narrow it down is to try to gauge sentiment, gauge ownership. I mean, that ownership doesn't matter for cash games, but if you're playing tournaments with a sport as volatile as football, we saw last week.
And with as many good plays as this slate has too.
Yes. So it's not a week where I'm, you know, avoiding the chalk because I feel like I have to, and playing, you know, plays that I don't like. It's more, I'm just going to play the plays I still like, but who are going to be lower owned. Mm-hmm.
And it's possible those overlap. So like, yeah, like there are some guys who are getting less love than they should, and I love them anyway. So I think a good week to track sentiment and then go from there. Quick reminder again for our schedule next week, pods all 3 days, NFL pods, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thanksgiving pod is Tuesday, and then the week 12 pod is Wednesday. So a day early next week. And get all those by subscribing to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. Brandon, if people have questions for you on Twitter, where can they find you there?
I am at Gadula13, GDULA13.
And I am at Jimsannes, JIMSANNES. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, PODS as in podcast. Enjoy building lineups week 11. This one looks pretty spicy. I'm excited to see the action on Sunday, and hopefully Eli Manning does not drop a dud because I am not emotionally prepared for that. But we'll see you on Monday to recap how things went down. Good luck in week 11. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast powered by Number Fire.